Hi everyone, welcome back for another episode of Empowered Podcast, and we continue to interview and discuss challenges and issues about education, especially this time with amazing and inspiring teachers. And today we are going to interview one of the best persons, best teachers, one of the most kind-hearted teachers that I've known, and we belong to the same school, and he is no other than Mr. Joel Howard. To introduce Mr. Howard, so why is he here? Well, recently, and we are so proud of him, and we love to extend our congratulatory remark to Mr. Howard, is that, you know, recently he was recognized as the Unified's 2021 Most Influential Teacher Awardee. So this award honors educators who promoted excellence and demonstrated a significant impact on others. They served as role models in many aspects inside and outside of the classroom. So what is Unified? Unified is the largest nonprofit Filipino-American Educators Association. It's a multi-service organization based in the United States of America. And they have been doing a lot. And one of the things that I love about this group is that they have been extending much support in terms of professional development, in terms of trainings to teachers in the Philippines. I do remember meeting one of the members of Unified, I think it's Tita Lumen. I've met her in Dubai because she also supported one of the Global Teacher Prize finalists, our friend Ryan Homan, and I got to meet her in Dubai. So hi to Tita Lumen. I know that she's in America, back in America. So there. All right. So Mr. Howard, how are you?
Right now, I feel fine.
You feel fine. So as teachers, we don't accept the word "I feel fine" or maybe the answer "I feel fine." How are you right now as a teacher? It's a Friday, so we're recording at a Friday in the afternoon. Well, so how are things in the Friday afternoon?
If I will expound on the idea of being fine, I feel fine because, well, we survive another week. The week has been very busy, but I feel that it has been productive as well. So I guess as of now, I feel grateful that I'm able to be here and that I survived the week.
Mr. Howard, so how did you feel when you first learned that you were awarded or recognized as the 2021 Most Influential Teacher Award by Unified?
I'm not sure if you will be expecting this answer, but there's that moment of disbelief. Like, am I actually getting this? Mm-hmm. Am I actually deserving of this award? When I received the email of being nominated, that one, I was quite not expecting it also. Mm-hmm. So when I was informed that I got the award, I kept on asking myself, did I actually deserve this? And then eventually, as I think about the things that happened in the past, I just thought of maybe this is a way of thanking the people who helped me be in this position wherein I am able to hopefully inspire also other people, because I feel that I was able to do that. I was able to be given that award because many people inspired me. So I guess it's a mix of disbelief and being grateful.
Yeah, for sure. I think being nominated is already a big honor, right? Being part of the short list and you know, people initially thinking that you deserve some kind of recognition. I love that. So, and I do. If Mr. Howard, I do believe that you really deserve that. Mr. Howard is, or Joel, is a friend of mine in school. And we know that he really deserved this because he's also one of the best teachers. I can say, and Xavier could say, he's the one of the best teachers in Xavier School. Joel, what do you teach? What subject do you teach right now?
Before I answer that question, I just want to highlight the fact that you will be one of those people that inspired me, that continually inspires me.
Oh, thank you.
Going back to your question, you're asking what I'm teaching. I'm currently handling bio classes in senior high school. I'm teaching a standard group and as well as an international baccalaureate diploma group.
So, given the differences, that means double preparation because you have the standard, which is like the Philippine standard curriculum, and then you have the senior high school IB. Of course, we know IB, you know, it's a lot tougher, our students would say, and our teachers would say. But what does teaching in the pandemic, you know, look like? I mean, you're a biology teacher, you're handling two kinds of, you know, curriculum strands. So how does teaching for you in the pandemic look like right now?
Well, before the pandemic, I have a certain degree of awareness that there is always a room for improvement in terms of how I am as a teacher. But the pandemic is like a magnifying lens that highlighted the many areas in my life as an educator and as a person where I need to grow. So if I will list down the things that made the teaching the pandemic challenging, I guess one of those challenges will be asking if I am actually capable of teaching in a different platform. Mm-hmm. So I was reflecting upon my technical skills.
Yeah.
I am familiar with some tools, some apps that can help me teach in an online setup. But then I feel that I was not totally equipped to do that. So there was that doubt. And then, because during that time, I was with a batch of students that I've journeyed with for almost 2 years before the pandemic hit. And so, coming into the pandemic and knowing that I have been with these students for the past 2 years, I felt that I was already emotionally invested in terms of how they will survive the setup. So I was asking, can I do this? But I was also wondering, can they do this? And yeah, will I be able to guide them into a path where they will be able to feel that, yeah, I guess online setup is okay and that I'm able to learn. I was also trying to be more conscious in terms of acknowledging that, or not invalidating the different forms of grief and different sources of grief of the people around me, of my students. Because I need to acknowledge that I was handling a grade 12 student, and so milestones were lost, lives were lost, structural support were torn down. So that's another challenge. And then I guess the last one would be how to meet each of my students where they were during that time, given that they will be in individual houses, in different places, in the metro, or even, I guess, others were in the provinces or in another country. So I was worried if I can actually meet each one of them during that time. So those were the challenges.
Joel, I love that you did not talk about, you know, the content. I mean, you mentioned about technical skills, but you did not talk about first about content or whatever, because a lot of teachers would really focus on that. And I love that you really talk about, you know, my worry is not just about me. My worry is that I also worry about the about my students right now. I love that you recognize that it's not just, you know, us teachers who really had to adjust for on the platform or whatever virtual online learning platform that we're using, or the new learning environment. I love that you mentioned about, you know, that one of the challenges was how to bring the students with you in that learning environment. And you did not just talk about, you know, the technical skills of students or how are they ready, but I love that you mentioned about your grade 12 students have actually lost milestones. Like, they could have made a lot of good memories. I do remember that because the last grade levels that I taught when I was in the classroom was always grade 6. So I would always tell them that this is your last year in the grade school. The only thing that I want you to do is to make good memories with your friends, because you will forever treasure them. And I cannot, you know, when the pandemic hit and I thought about the graduating students, their memories are all about the challenges, but I'm pretty sure you made good memories with them, because you've mentioned about, you know, how they could forever, you know, put these things into their heart. So I love it, because a lot of our discussion, even at the start of the pandemic, was not about pedagogical approaches only. It's about how do we bring in the students, social emotional learning, how safe they are, how ready they are. I love it. I think that really speaks of how you have invested yourself in your students, not just academically, but in totality, like how they are. So how about the rewards? Like, we know that it was very challenging for us to do that in the past school year. What little stories or big stories of success or rewards have you experienced despite that transition to a new, well, quote unquote normal that we had?
Before I answer that question, I just would like to follow up on your comment about content. Maybe because in Saver School, we know that we have people around us, where our boss, our department chair, our assistant principals, we know that these people will guide us in terms of what should be offered to our students. And so I had, if there's something that I did not doubt, that would be it, that the content will be fine. Because based on the curriculum that we have, I know that it's something that we never settle for less. It's something that we prioritize. So probably that's why I did not mention about it.
We were confident already on that part.
And also in Saver School, we always mention that, yes, we need to prioritize the academic development of our students, but we also have that unspoken rule wherein we say that formation will always matter more than the academics. So probably that's the reason. Yeah. So what were the rewards? Were there rewards? I'm kidding.
You were awarded last year. So that's your reward, or this year.
So I guess learning new ways and how I can teach, because we were forced to learn new ways on how to do it. So this is rewarding, because I feel that at this moment I have a wider perspective in terms of how we can be a better companion to our learners.
The
barrier made us look into other areas that probably before we were not noticing, and so I guess that is one of the rewards. Then realizing that our students are actually resilient.
Yes.
That when they are given the chance and the means to show what they can do, a lot of them, if not all of them, will actually seize those opportunities. And most of the time we end up being surprised by what they are actually capable of doing. And then understanding that welcoming new things in our lives does not mean forgetting about what we have lost. So the reward in this comes from the comforting knowledge that it is okay to grieve, and there are times wherein you just remember something that you are not going to be able to do anymore. But then there are times that something comes as a, not really to replace what you have lost, but to remind you that there are still blessings coming despite where we are during that time.
Yeah, Joel, I got two wonderful thoughts that you've mentioned. Number one, it's not bad to learn new things. It actually helps widens you. So sort of, I feel like a lot of teachers right now have gained a lot of expertise in terms of technology, in terms of a lot of, you know, those things that we didn't really look into when we were doing face-to-face learning, because we were so sure of ourselves during face-to-face learning. So we're not saying that the pandemic is good. It's really, really bad. But what we have gotten out of it is that resiliency, as Joel has mentioned, but us also in a way being open to trying new things because we have really no choice. And the fact that we also are capable of, you know, understanding more of ourselves, maybe deeper of how we feel for ourselves, the things that we're feeling for other people. I love that because those are the things. I think more than the academic thing, a lot of teachers and students have really gotten more in touch with the character development, you know, resiliency, empathy, and all those kinds of things. You mentioned a lot about, you know, understanding the students and being one with them. What has been the most challenging part of, you know, journeying with like teenagers, for example? You're teaching senior high school. So what has been the more challenging part of journeying with them, especially during remote learning? But at the same time, how did you work with these challenges? Or maybe what workaround have you done to face these challenges?
We have to admit that even before the pandemic, it was quite challenging already to figure out what will be the right set of approaches that you can use in terms of journeying with learners, because every student will be different from the others, and every batch that will be given to you will have a different set of qualities, and so the matching was already challenging. And when the pandemic happened, I was like, should I even think about this? Maybe I should just let go. And just try, you know, to deliver what I can deliver during the synchronous sessions, and then try my best to work on the asynchronous planning. But then I realized that I need to remember that young version of myself and how that person would be reacting to the situation. And by doing that, it made me think of some things that I can ask my students to work on, or things that I can give them that will hopefully help them during that period. So I tried to remember my hopes as a young individual, what fueled those hopes. And by listening to them during some moments where we are free to discuss different things, I tried to check on what were their hopes during that time. And then I tried to create spaces, even during that limited synchronous sessions, wherein they will feel that they can be open, that they can say things, that it will not be taken against them. So my approach might be considered like welcoming each of my students and knowing that they are imperfect, that they will commit mistakes, and that I myself will be committing a lot of mistakes. And by just having that environment, that online environment wherein we can be free, we can acknowledge our shortcomings, that allowed us to be there for each other. I'm not sure if I'm conveying myself here clearly, but then I guess I'm prioritizing establishing that authentic relationship with my students, because I always remember that students don't learn from teachers that they feel does not care about them. So if we want our students to care about what we are teaching, first we have to make them feel that we actually care about them. Because they don't care about what we know unless they know that we care about them. I know it's not from me, it's someone, but it's something that I think that I'm always using. When I'm planning.
But Joel, I love it because I think that's the first thing that teachers should be doing. Like when we were students before. Like, we don't really care, even if the teacher is an expert, teacher is very smart, if we know that the heart is not there, right? And I love the fact that you have been making sure that the online learning environment, the space that you have, the shared space, the online shared space, the only possible space that you're meeting them, is that it's actually a safe place. I think even before the pandemic, that's what we were already advocating before. Like, the school should be a safe place for students to be who they are, to even commit mistakes, because that's what schools are for. That, you know, we're not creating perfect students. We're not creating perfect teachers. In a way, there's no perfect person. So the thing that you're doing out there, it's something that we will really get the students to really believe that you care for them and that it's very authentic. I love it. It makes everything more authentic. This is one of the things that I love about teaching. And if you want to be someone, a very influential person in the life of the students, you have to show that you are vulnerable also. Show a little sense of vulnerability, authenticity, because that's the only time that they would be able to relate with you. Because they now know that Mr. Toscano, Mr. Howard, is actually a person. They're not gods. They're not, you know, perfect people. And that, you know, they also commit mistakes and, you know, have experiences of failure. And they do understand what we're doing. So, lovely words, Mr. Howard. Never mind if it's your original or not, but I know that what you're sharing to us is very authentic. And that is more important. You know, we don't care who's the originator, the origin of that phrase, but we believe in the authenticity, so we love it. A last question, Mr. Howard, and you know, you've been a very influential, inspiring teacher. So where do you draw your inspiration? What keeps you going despite the many challenges that we as educators and teachers are experiencing right now?
I think I've been asked this question before. I think I've been asked this question several times. And I think I've been consistent also with my answer. I feel that I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by individuals who share the same mission and vision like you. And I'm going to use this I'm not sure if we should call it catchphrase, but it's actually our mission, right? Let your light shine. Let our light shine. I feel that I will not be here if the people that I encountered in the past did not let their light shine. Because there were times wherein I think I did not have that light in me yet. Or if it was there, it was quite dim. And so the light of these other people around me, that served as my guide during those times when I was still learning how to do the job, when I was still learning about how to not bring my baggage in the classes. And so being surrounded by people who also acknowledge that they are trying their best to do their job, they're trying their best to help others, that I think that serves as an inspiration. If I may just share a story. So yesterday we have this professional learning community session in high school. So it's a new committee, and I facilitated a small group, and I was with a mix of junior high school and senior high school teachers. And we were sharing ways on how we can engage our learners in this setup. So I was facilitating, I was just listening to their responses. And I can't help but feel proud that I'm working with these people. I was like getting goosebumps, listening to how they're doing things with extra.
Mm-hmm.
So being with these people inspired me. And I'm very fortunate that I am in this community wherein we actually encourage each other to be a light to other people.
Yeah. And I love that. And you know, one of the reasons why teachers do not leave school or their schools is that, you know, there are articles why teachers leave the school. But there are also articles, and a lot of us experience this, but one of the reasons why teachers, despite the job being very challenging, it's not all rainbows and flowers or whatever. There's no job like that. If you're looking for a perfect job, there's no job like that, unless you be your own boss. But one of the reasons why teachers do not leave their schools is that it's because of the community, the support that the community brings. And I love the fact that Joel actually mentioned or is highlighting the fact that the community is not just the community that you have right now. A lot of us are experiencing or maybe showing our own expertise, or maybe, you know, because we are standing on the shoulder of the giants that who came before us. So I love that, because that's part of, you know, continuing the school community tradition of excellence. The school culture is really based on what happened in the past, what has been built in the past, and what is being continued right now. So there, I think we have gathered, we have heard a lot of nuggets of wisdom from Mr. Howard, and we are just so thankful that you are here. And again, we are so proud of you for being Unified's 2021 Most Influential Teacher. And we salute the authenticity that you have been showing, and truly you are an inspiring and influential teacher. So thank you, Joel. Thank you for being in our podcast.
I'm happy to be here.
Right. So for our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is season 8 of Empowered Podcast, and we continue to discuss challenges and feature amazing and inspiring educators, not just in the Philippines, but around the world. Also, please take note that we have released a mini series earlier in season number 8, it's episodes 1-5 on assessments in remote learning that I co-produced and co-hosted with our very own Regan Austria. So please do check that out. And for everyone, Joel, thank you so much. To our listeners, thank you. And we hope for everyone's safety as we continue to face and live with the pandemic. Thank you, everyone, and stay safe. Goodbye. Bye, Joel.
Goodbye.